Take your Bibles today, turn to Romans chapter 12 as we continue our study of that book. We are now moving into the fifth and final section of the book, which deals with Christian service. And we are going to start off with a general message today on knowing the will of God for our life. I originally planned to put this in as the second message and do something different the first one, but I've just switched the numbers around. So if you look at the first line or two in your bulletin there, it's not accurate, but the rest of the bulletin information is. So Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, as we do a general study today about knowing God's will for your life. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are going to be talking about the subject of the will of God. In this passage that we just read, Paul talks about three things that will be considered next week. Number one, presenting our bodies to God. Number two, separating ourselves from worldliness. And number three, transforming our minds. Today, however, I want to look at six things by way of topical discussion with you to notice how we can come to know God's will for our life, along with what we will say in our next lesson. Psalm 119 tells us, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." It also says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." I tell you, I walked into a building this morning over at Director's Hall, and we were going to have a service there. When I arrived, of course, the building is, the room where we meet is always dark. And we need to get some of the appropriate lights on and take care of all of that. Unfortunately, there are several lights, so you have to kind of go around and organize everything. But without light, it's just not possible to have a service in that building there. And you know, this is so important that we realize the significance of light. Everywhere we go, we are aware of it. Sometimes, if you're in a place where there is no power at hand, you might have to flick a match and get some light just to see what's happening, or hopefully find a flashlight or something that you can use to be able to enable yourself to be able to see where you're going. Well, the Bible tells us that we need direction for our lives too. We need to know how to take the right steps, where we're going, what is right, what isn't right. And one of the things that helps us to do that, and I think the first thing, is this fact of God's written word. You know, one day Jesus met in the desert, and he had a temptation from Satan. And Satan tried to tempt him and lead him to follow his dark path as usual. Always remember, there's only two kingdoms in the world. There's the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of darkness. And on the other hand, there's the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the kingdom of light. And you remember, though, Jesus Christ started out his discussion with Satan that day with three very important words. "It is written." And 20 times in the Gospels, Jesus used that phrase to deal with situations that came up where he needed to bring instruction. He reminded his hearers, it is written. The word of God is the foundational truth upon which we are to build our lives and to seek and know God's will. As we read about God's general will in the Bible, we become also more spiritually sensitive to some of the areas of specific will that he has for us. Sometimes we're reading the scripture and we're just seeing some basic information there. But there are some times when all of a sudden out of the pages of scripture, that general type of information suddenly becomes something that is specific and it speaks directly to the situation that we are facing at that moment. And when that happens, of course, the Word of God takes on a life that is greater maybe than what we might normally experience in our regular reading. I can only say this, though, that we need to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. I don't know how people think they can get along without the Word of God. Frankly, there's so much in it that is so instructive for life today, I don't know why people would want to leave it behind. But for a lot of people, it is written is not important. It's much more important than, you know, what is viewed on television or what is being said by somebody else or whatever. But they're overlooking the written Word of God. Psalm 119 is full of information about God's Word and how important it is. The second way that a believer comes to know the will of God, however, is not only through the general and specific things that flow out of God's holy word, but also through the Holy Spirit himself. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. I know that there are different views about the Spirit's working in Christians' lives. Different denominations and different church groups have different ideas about this. But certainly there should be no debate about the fact that in the heart of every true Christian, there is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God not only confirms that we are the sons of God, but also he leads us as the sons of God. Romans chapter 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the, the sons of God or the children of God. It's a very important thing. John 16 also says that when the Spirit of God comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Now, that was certainly true in a special way for the apostles and for the people who accompanied Jesus during his earthly ministry. But that's not the end of the story, because we still today are to be led by the Spirit of God. Even now, we are to be led into all the truth by God's Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. A lot of times people try to put themselves under bondage to a lot of rules and regulations, many times not even ones that God gave, but regulations that they themselves have created. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day were experts at this. And yet, we are told here by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 that we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, the good news is that if we're following the Word of God and we're being led by the Spirit of God, there's going to be no contradiction ever. Because whatever the Word of God says is from the Holy Spirit to begin with. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is God breathed out, so it came from God, and it was the Holy Spirit of God who gave us the Scriptures. But now, when we have the Holy Spirit living right inside of our hearts as well, the Word and the Spirit work together to show us the way that God wants us to be led. There's a third thing, though, that the Bible talks about, and that is the matter of inner peace. You know, the Bible tells us about two different kinds of peace that you can have in your life. One of them is, according to Colossians 3:15, where we read there that God's peace can rule in our hearts as believers. The word rule there means literally to umpire, to function very much like an official would function at a football game or a baseball game or something like that. The inner peace that we have helps to show us whether we are moving in the right direction or not. If we don't have that peace, there's something that's not right, because certainly we want to have God's peace in our life. The other peace, of course, is the one that we experience the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. It is not the peace of God, but it is peace with God. The Bible says that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you become a Christian and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it is not something that you should constantly be wondering, you know, well, am I really saved or not? Am I at peace with God or not? The Bible says if you are justified by faith, then you will have peace with God. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit that comes into your life because of your faith in Jesus Christ. So you can be at peace with God the moment you believe, but you want more than that. You want also to have the peace of God operating in your heart. And you'll know what I'm talking about, because if you're being tempted to move out into something that's not according to God's will and God's way, He'll tell you about it. He'll begin to show you about it. He'll prick your heart, your conscience. He'll begin to show you that the steps that you are contemplating taking are not the things that are of God. Okay, if we have a decision to make, we should let the peace of Christ be umpire and call the decisions that are to be made. Sometimes everything else seems right in God's will, but there is a loss of inner peace. There's a feeling that we have of uneasiness as we contemplate a decision. This uneasy feeling is the absence of the peace of Christ, letting us know that what we are about to do or have already done is wrong. And so we need to be sensitive to that. I don't think that feelings alone should be determining what is God's will for our life, but certainly they are part of the matter that can help us to know. We go to the Word, of course, first of all, and the inner direction of the Holy Spirit, but certainly inner peace is also something that the Scriptures indicate is for our benefit as well. Number four, we know from Scripture, too, that the Bible also says that we can gain knowledge about God's will from the counsel of mature believers or fellow disciples along the way. There are some people who have walked with the Lord for many years, and in that time they have acquired great wisdom. And I want you to realize, however, though, that wisdom isn't possible only for the elderly saints. Younger saints can have wisdom too. You say, well, how do we get it? Ask. Bible says if any of us lack wisdom, we should ask of God, who giveth to all liberally without reproaching us for asking. And that, of course, is in James chapter 1. However, it is great to know that many times God will bring into our lives some individuals that we know and that we trust, and we have seen that they are mature in their faith. And many times it's good to get input from them. The Bible in Psalm 24, 6 tells us about one of these in that portion of Scripture. Proverbs 24, I misspoke that. But Proverbs 24, verse 6, we read these words. For by wise guidance you can wage your war. In an abundance of counselors there is victory. Now, when they are talking about the abundance of counselors, it's talking about people who have God's wisdom, people who know the Lord and who are walking with Him. This doesn't always have to mean a professional counselor of some sort. However, in the multitude of counselors, good directors of God's truth, of God's wisdom, we can gain insight, we can gain knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with going to somebody that you trust or that you believe knows maybe more about some things than you might know, and to ask for their advice and to see what they would tell you by way of direction. Proverbs 27 also hints at this same idea when it tells us in these words. It says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. You know, if you have a mower blade that needs to be sharpened, what do? You have to go to somebody who has the ability to work along with that blade and help you sharpen it so that it becomes more effective. And that's the same way it is with many tools. They might work well for a while, but eventually they need to have some work done with them. Iron is sharpening iron. And you know, one person can sharpen another too, can help another person to see something that maybe they themselves would not have seen. So when you put that together here, the counsel of fellow believers who have God's wisdom, that can be a great help to us as well. Number five, the Bible also indicates that in circumstances, many times God will show us what He wants to do. Not every door, however, that opens is necessarily God's will. Okay? It's amazing to me. You ever read the story of the book of Jonah? God told Jonah to go down to Nineveh and to minister. What did Jonah do? He went down in just the exact opposite direction. And you know what? When he got down to the seashore where he was going to hop on the ship, there was a ship waiting right there for him to take. And you know what? When they were going to take off on the ship, we read that the weather was good. Things looked good initially. It looked like, hey, if Jonah wanted to make an excuse, he could say, well, you know, God may have said this other thing over here, but I think now that, you know, this is God's will for me. No, God said, you're to go to Nineveh. You are to preach to these people here. They need to know about God's truth. But Jonah, on the other hand, was thinking, well, look, I've got a ship waiting right here. I don't want to go over here to Nineveh. This all looks like it's just perfect. Well, it wasn't. And you know the great tragedy that came not only to Jonah, but to the sailors at sea as well, and to the cargo that was on board. It's a tragic thing. Some people, too, think that every closed door is God's refusal to have us go in a certain direction. That isn't always the case either. Sometimes God may shut a door temporarily for the moment, but that doesn't mean that the initial idea in the end is not a good one or something that is out of his will. Okay? We want to avoid impulsive and emotionally driven responses to every circumstance. Why? Because they may not be following the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 5 through 9, we see the Apostle Paul moving forward willingly, and yet you also notice in that passage of Scripture that he is careful to move forward cautiously. He's looking at things very, very carefully. Some people think that, you know, if you have an idea, well, it's got to be God's will, let's do it right now. That's not necessarily the case. It might be, but it might not be. And sometimes it takes a little bit of looking this over carefully, reading God's word, listening to the Spirit working in our hearts, asking God for the wisdom that we need, hearing the voice maybe of some mature counselors or disciples. All of these things are important part of the whole picture here. As someone once said, doing God's will is not like eating fish. Now, first time I heard that, I thought, what in the world are they talking about? And they said, well, have you ever noticed? You go out and you catch fish. What happens? If you let the fish set along outside or without being refrigerated in a short amount of time, what happens? It starts to smell. And some people say that, you know, well, that's kind of the way it is with God's will, too. If you got an idea, do it now, because, you know, you sit around and you look at it too carefully, you might find out it's not that good after all. You know, just do it now. Well, that's kind of a foolish thing, isn't it? We need to be confident that what we are doing, that the circumstances are really God directing us. And God can do that through circumstances. God is sovereign over all. All of creation is in his hand. So the idea of directing things even in nature or in the events that are happening around us, that they can be part of his will, there's no question that God is able to do that because of his sovereign will and his sovereign power. There is, however, number six also, and this is the one that people almost find surprising, but it has to do with personal desires. What do you want to do? You say, well, could what I want to do be what God wants me to do? It could be. Many of you have learned the importance of this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know, if you have desires in your heart and you are seeking in all areas to honor God, it may well be that the desires that are now in your heart are from the Lord. They might be. And that's something that needs to enter the picture too. Remember, God not only works in our life, but the Bible says that God works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, even the willing, even the desiring inside of us can come from the Lord. Philippians 2 verse 13. Remember that we delight ourselves in the Lord. He has promised to give us the desires of our heart. Psalm 37 verse 4. Now that sounds encouraging. A lot of people say, well, look at that. I can have the desires of my heart. But notice, first of all, the psalmist said what? If we delight ourselves in the Lord and we are willing to do what he wants and follow him, then if we're willing to delight ourselves in him, he will give to us the desires at our heart. Why? Because at that moment, our desires are in line with his desires. Okay? Now, God, when he directs people in matters of his will, does not always use all six of these. Many times, a couple of these are enough to help us to become clear about where we should go. If, however, we sense that we're not getting a green light somewhere, but we're getting a red light, stop. Remember, you don't have to swallow fish quickly or it starts to smell. If you are careful, you can have the benefits by taking time and looking this over carefully. And anyway, that's something that was indicated many years ago in an old story. I don't know who first came up with this story. I've heard it by some elderly preacher somewhere. I don't know where or who. But the story was told that one day there was a man who was a captain of a ship, and he was coming into a harbor. And as they were doing this, one of the passengers on the ship was talking to him, and he said, I noticed as we were coming into this harbor that there's a lot of rocks over here and there. How are you going to be able to steer your boat right into this harbor without us hitting all those rocks and being, you know, in tragedy? And the captain said, well, he says, look over there on the top of the high cliffs across the harbor itself. So the man looked up there and he saw that there were six lights that were stationed on top of that cliff. The captain said, now, if I would just move right in now without giving any thought to this, I might very well hit one of those rocks. But those six lights are up there in order to show us, to help us know where the exact path is for us to follow, so that we can have the lights line up carefully, and when they line up, we know that that is the place of safe travel. We can move right along and move right on in, because those lights, when they line up, are indicating that God is showing us what he wants us to do. Now, I'm not going to sit here and suggest to you today that, you know, knowing God's will sometimes is always easy. But you know what? I do believe that God wants us to know his will. I think that God is a God who not only allowed one book to be written, the book of Revelation, but he also writes everything as revelation. He's given us his word to show us ways that we can know what he is telling us to do. And I think that every one of these, in some instances, are part of how God does this. He can use circumstances, yes. He can use personal desires sometimes, indeed. He can use the counsel of wise disciples that you know and who have greater maturity maybe than you do in some areas. Certainly, you need to be in the Word of God. Anybody that says they want to know the will of God and is not in the habit of reading their Bible, they're deceiving themselves. If they think they're wanting to know God's will and they want to know what he wants for them to do, and they never read their Bible sits empty on the shelf, it just sits there and gets dust and it doesn't do anything for them, they're being very foolish about this, because that's why the Bible's given to us. It's given as a book of revelation. Don't forget, too, God's Spirit is in our hearts now to lead us into all the truth. Remember Paul's words that those who are led, and as Dr. Wiersbe has indicated, the word there is not just led, but those who are willingly led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If you're a real child of God, if you're really part of the family of God, you're going to be one who is seeking to be willingly led by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And don't forget, too, there are going to be times when you do or you do not have inner peace in your heart about a matter. And if you're not clear about it, and you don't have the peace that you're looking for, that you think you need to have, then wait. Don't be in a hurry. God will do all things in his own time. Remember, as we've said to you many times before, history is always his story. And God has a story for your life too. And he's willing to show it to you. But sometimes he takes a little time to get people there. Did God have a plan for Israel to get to the promised land, the land of Canaan? He did. And if the children of Israel had followed God's will and God's way, they would have gotten there 40 years earlier. But because of their lack of faith, they didn't get there 40 years earlier. It took 40 years later before they finally got there. Was the plan wrong? Did God, had he reneged on his promise to bring them into the land of Canaan? No. But he knew that because of certain things that were happening in Israel, that it was going to take longer to do this in his plan than what the children of Israel had originally thought. And so that too might be part of the picture as well. Keep these things in your mind. Maybe jot them down somewhere that you could consult them once in a while. There's plenty of scripture references in here to show you that this isn't just something that popped out of my head. We have lots of scripture references there. And anyway, I think that if you will avail yourself of these things, it will help you to have more clarity about knowing God's will for your life. Now, if you want to be preparing your heart for our next study, we're going to talk a little bit more about having knowledge of God's will. But like I said, we want to look at the importance of how important this is in terms of presenting our bodies to God. You know, what are we to do? We are to present our bodies as living sacrifices so that we can do what? So that we can come to know what is the perfect will of God for our life. You know, if you're running your body your way, that's not a good thing. Bible says too, we need to separate ourselves from worldliness. A lot of people think, well, I can be a Christian, I can still get to heaven, but I can live like the world. I can follow the world standard, the world system. No, you can't. They are in direct contradiction. You know, there's only one letter difference between word and world. Okay? One little letter. But what a big difference it makes. You can follow the word or you can follow the world. Either way. One way is God's way, the other way isn't. And of course, don't forget the fact, too, that by transforming our minds, what you're putting into your mind is a very important thing. We'll talk about these three things next week, but remember, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is of good report, whatever is excellent, think on these things. Put the right stuff in. Like Zig Ziglar used to say, you put the good stuff in, you get the good stuff out. You put the garbage in, you get the garbage out. Quite simple, actually, but anyway, more on that next time, just to whet your appetite. So let's close with prayer, and we'll move on through the rest of the service here. Father, we thank you for being able to talk about these things. We don't claim to be experts on any of this, but we know that your Word of God is not silent about this subject, and where the Word of God is not silent, then we should not let it remain silent. We should also seek to hear the voice of God in the manner that he has described. Now, Lord, lead us and guide us. Help us to walk in your will and your way, especially now as we start a new week. May it be that through this coming week, we will have the privilege of walking with you and living for you. Hear our prayer now as we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.